Good evening.
Hello. How's Liebchen?
I'm just staggering into bed. Hang on.
Right. Lovely.
My lovely Biddy. Oh, lovely.
I'm so glad.
Are you?
Oh, not yet. I'm sitting at my writing desk. I've just been having a long, long conversation with Editon.
Oh, yes.
And the important things that emerged from it, we talked about everything from hundredstel and thousandstel, but the most important things are really three. The first one is that you remember we said that it would be nice to sort of see her when I'm next in London visiting you.
Yes.
Well, as I shall be with you on Monday the 18th and Tuesday the 19th, I suggested to her that we might come together one way or another on one or other of those days.
Yeah.
And she said yes, she would like that very much, and we would arrange it when I am in London. Well, I suggested that the best thing would be if you were to arrange it with her in the meantime, as to whether we go to her or she comes to you or what we're going to do.
Got this feeling she's not coming in my house. When you come, you get a great shock, my dear.
But never mind. Well, then we go to her house.
No, I don't want to go upstairs.
No. Well, then she can come down to us. Or we can all go to the Singapore together or something like that. Or to the walk, I suppose.
Yes, we could go to the walk.
That's an idea. Right, that's point one. Point two, on the 1st of January, she is going to a health farm to reduce her weight. She now weighs 11 stone, which I calculate is 68,5 kilo.
Ja.
Und Sollgewicht 58 Kilo. Dann muss sie 10,5 Kilo verlieren.
Warum denn?
Weil sie Übergewicht hat und fühlt sich schlecht dabei.
Ach so.
Und will bezahlen 1000 Pfund für ein 12-tägiger Aufenthalt in ein Health Farm in Lippstock. Keine Ahnung, wo Lippstock ist. Sie meint, es ist irgendwo in Hertfordshire. Und sie hat es verglichen mit den damaligen Thüringen.
Welcome to the Wavelength Christmas Show here on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com. Today's programme features festive tracks by Nina and Frederick, Florence Jenkins and Negative Land, preceded by a short story by mine or yourn host, William English, and a Christmas conversation between Anna and Captain Maurice Seddon, who passed away earlier this year.
Ja, das ist ein beträchtlicher Alter. Und das letzte Punkt war, zu allerletzt, sie sagte, sie möchte mit uns zusammen Weihnachten feiern und sie will mit dir darüber sprechen.
I see, well, wo will sie denn Weihnachten feiern? Wo?
Keine Ahnung, das wurde da nicht angerührt. Sie sagte einfach, sie wollte das machen und würde mit dir darüber sprechen. So, I don't know.
Yes. Well, I already have two invitations for Christmas dinner, you know.
Die Nachfrage nach dir ist sehr groß.
No, it isn't.
Oh, yes, it is. No, you're very lucky that is so. Well, no, you're not lucky. That is not correct at all.
In the mornings before leaving for work in his second-hand bookshop, Mildew would listen intently to two radios at the same time, one FM and one digital. The shop specialised in failed artists' ephemera, and over three decades, Mildew had become an expert in the careers of failed artists such as Christopher Sturgis Leaf, who had been discovered by Victor Musgrave, exhibiting paintings on the railings of Bayswater Road. A one-man show at Musgrave's Gallery One in the 1960s was followed by a meteoric decline into obscurity, after which Sturgis Leaf gave up painting. Mildew had given up painting soon after leaving art school. Over the decades, how many times had he come across the same piece of unwanted memorabilia, Middelheim's Sculpture Park, 1958? The FM radio was on in the bathroom and the digital one in the kitchen. Midway between the two rooms, there was a point where the delayed signal between the two broadcasting systems was clearly audible, at least 1 second difference creating an echo effect. This phenomenon always struck Mildew as odd, to think that the time signal could be perpetually wrong by more than 1 second. It was just one more of life's paradoxes which nurtured Mildew's bitterness. A lot could happen in 1 second. 1 second could change the course of your life. You might look out of the window and not see a bird landing on the balcony opposite, where the hooded man smoked a cigarette as he did every morning. Every morning, whilst listening to the two radios, Mildew would speculate on the significance of a second. One more time across the Millennium Bridge to the shop. Mildew recalled crossing the bridge on the opening day, when the amount of promenaders had made it wobble alarmingly, causing it to be closed until further notice. Midway across the Thames, swaying from side to side between St Paul's Cathedral and Tate Modern, standing at a point where no pedestrian had ever stood before, suspended above the dark waters on a flawed construction, all that effort and careful design, and yet something unforeseen had happened. The bridge made people feel insecure, ill even. Years later, crossing the now stabilised bridge, Mildew noticed, not for the first time, a figure lying prostrate in the middle of the causeway. It was bitterly cold, and the man was wearing several layers of protective garments. Lying on his side, apparently concentrating on the surface of the walkway. This man had made a reputation for himself by painting discarded chewing gum and was now known as the chewing gum artist. His artistic career was based on a practice of singling out one blob of gum which had been spat out carelessly by some inconsiderate walker, possibly whilst admiring the view of Tower Bridge, and trodden into the fine metal grid which formed the surface of the bridge. He had with him a box of enamel paints, and on dark evenings a portable lamp strapped to his forehead, spending hours meticulously decorating the chosen blob with bright colours using a size 1 sable brush, making sure that not one speck of paint touched the metalwork, which would be a misdemeanour punishable by fine or worse. Gum was deemed to be litter, and the man was therefore exempt from prosecution, as long as the paint coloured the gum and nothing else. His only offence might be to cause an obstruction, which was not insignificant at times, matched occasionally by shabby vendors of caramelised peanuts who would run off pushing their pungent trolleys at the sight of a uniform. Every time that Mildew noticed the chewing gum artist, he muttered imbecile under his breath and glared at the moronic tourists who gathered round the exhibitionist to always ask the same question. What are you doing? The prone bundle would resolutely maintain a pose of serious artist, answering at length whilst continuing obsessively with the task of painstakingly working on the infinitesimal miniatures which could now be seen from one end of the bridge to the other. Tourists would crouch down to take photographs of this faux folk art, the art brew of a misguided idiot, thought Mildew. The vast edifice of Tate Modern loomed, proclaiming yet another major exhibition of Sigmar Polka. If he had ever indulged in the filthy habit himself, he would gladly have spat out fresh gum and stamped it over the micro-murals created by the chewing gum artist, who was now shrouded in a sea mist. To the left, the shard, resembling a Christmas tree, with its glowing peak becoming gradually obscured by a low, dark grey cloud. Now, once again, bracketed by the two places of worship, St Paul's Cathedral and Tate Modern, Mildew felt a tremor beneath him, as though the bridge was trying to shake off the chewing gum artist, the peanut vendors, and the hundreds of tourists taking selfies. Ahead, dwarfed by the 50 million brick Tate Modern behemoth, once a source of electricity, now home to charged molecules of a different kind, given credence by deluded curators, mirrored by the cathedral behind, was a pseudo-village of wooden huts, temporary structures intended to emulate mythical Swiss chalets. Each hut adorned with some kitsch reference. Rudolph, the red-nosed plastic reindeer. A resin replica of Ebenezer Scrooge holding a lantern, staring blankly into space, as if to say, what in God's name am I doing here, displaced into this grotesque bazaar? Selling all manner of detritus in the name of Christmas, cubes of foul toffee, piles of steaming pulled pork, all to a background of mawkish festive muzak. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. At the end of the bridge, where the walkway doubled back on itself, Mildew saw another frequent visitor, the man with a camera and a 2-foot lens on a tripod aimed at a pale speck, barely visible, at the top of the huge brick chimney which crowned Tate Modern. The pale speck was a rare peregrine falcon which had made a nest there and attracted the interest of ornithologists. On the embankment in front of Shakespeare's Globe, a figure dressed entirely in stiff gold-painted cloth and a gnome-like mask, motionless on a metal construction disguised to make the gnome appear to be suspended in mid-air. The illusion was enabled by a stiff metal spar hidden within the clothing, a ritual which required careful preparation on the part of the gnome, who was then virtually trapped in the pose, seeming to float, earning a meagre income through theatrical inertia. What a way to earn a living, murmured Mildew. St. Paul's chimed 11, echoing against Tate Modern and reminding him of the digital FM radio delay. Mildew looked back at the chewing gum artist, now disappearing into a dense fog. The river swelled in the dark and the bridge swayed again, causing the vast hawsers to creak ominously, and Mildew felt disorientated. Which way was he going, north or south? He lurched towards the cables at the side of the bridge, festooned with padlocks, the stupid tokens of love copied from Paris, which had to be periodically removed by council operatives with bolt cutters. The photographer's digital shutter opened and closed silently for 1 second. 1 second in the life of the peregrine falcon perched on a ledge hundreds of feet above the bridge, above the water, above Mildew, with no knowledge of failed artist's ephemera, Sigmar Polka, or pulled pork. The breeze briefly lifted the falcon's feathers as it scanned the ground for prey. As Mildew's hands lost their grip on the cold cable, he plunged into the dark water flowing towards the sea. Surfacing briefly, he imagined the gold face of a gnome painted on chewing gum. As he sank again, he felt talons clutching his shoulders, hoisting him upwards through the fog, before setting him down gently on top of the hog-roast chalet next to the effigy of Scrooge. Just 1 second, he thought.
Thank you.
Finland?
I think it's too far away.
But as I say, you see, it's the Autobahn takes us from point to point. That restaurant is 200 meters from the Autobahn. It is the easiest possible thing to get to if the Autobahn is clear.
Yes, but it's traveled in Dutch, isn't it?
A similar distance. A similar distance.
No, I think it's too far. Sorry.
Yes. Right. It is rather a long way. I agree with you.
I don't want to sit hours in the car on Christmas Eve.
No, it is rather a long way. It is perfectly true.
And Mark doesn't want to cook any more in the evenings?
That's understandable.
And Helen doesn't want to cook any more in the evenings?
That's right.
And Anna doesn't want to cook any more in the evenings?
That's right.
Once you reach the age of 70 and more, the evenings are out.
Yes, absolutely.
Too much of a strain.
That's great.
But I still did it at 80 and Mark still did it at 80.
Amazing. Well, she was still doing it until quite recently, wasn't she?
No, but...
3 or 4 years ago?
5 years ago.
Was it 5 years ago? Yes. Amazing. Amazing. Well, now I shall arrive sometime tomorrow. And I can't tell you the time because I have this mechanic coming and I don't know how long he will stay. Oh, no, no. Wait a minute. No, I'm coming on Sunday. That's right. Sunday, probably evening or late night.
Yes.
And I'm bringing with me the sirloin steaks.
Yes.
Which I've put in the ice fach of the refrigerator,
yes,
but not into the deep freeze. Do you think that's right?
They lose all flavour.
Yes, so I haven't put them in the freezer.
The freezer destroys everything.
Really?
That's why I don't want it. No taste at all. You might as well eat a turnip or a sweet or a beetroot.
Dear, dear. That does sound rather impersonal.
Well, you see, I'm very fussy with my food. If I spend a lot of money on meat and food...
When a million stars fall down gently over London town, in a magic atmosphere, Christmas time is drawing near. Children watching every day, more and more toys on display, candy, fruit and suckling pig. Little eyes grow awfully big. London shines brighter than before. Big Ben's bells ring a little more. One big tree all the way from Norway owns Trafalgar Square. Piccadilly wears a crown, Leicester Square a golden gown, and the Strand looks really grand. Chestnut vendors warm their hands on a yearly escapade through a tinsel tape parade. Ruby-cheeked and burdened down, Santa Claus has come to town. London shines brighter than before. Big Ben's bells ring a little more. One big tree all the way from Norway owns Trafalgar Square. People rushing up and down on a snowflake eiderdown. Father Thames has lost his frown. Christmas time in London town. Christmas time in London town. Christmas time in London town. Christmas time in London town.
course, ideally, they mustn't.
Yeah.
It's clear.
I like my food to be fresh and young and good tasting. Of course, all the hotels and Germans and others and French, they make sauces, very, very good sauces, which they pour over the dull, refrigerated, uneatable meat. And, and then it tastes nice because the sauce is on it.
Yes.
But you couldn't eat it without it.
No.
Horrible.
I suppose not. Well, a sauce will hide a multitude of ills.
That's why they invented all those sauces. Very clever, isn't it?
Yes.
But I like mine without sauce and have the taste of the meat or vegetable or whatever it is as nature provided.
Yes. Is that right? That's the way to have it?
Yes.
Much better.
And how is your hairstyle?
My hairstyle? Well, I actually rang up as a sort of old codger's friseur's in a nearby establishment in Langley, and I rang it up yesterday, and I said, would it be possible for me to have a haircut there? And they said, oh, they were very sorry, but the woman who does that has got to go into hospital yesterday and would not be able to take on any more haircutting till after Christmas.
Well, it doesn't matter.
So it's exactly as you last saw it.
Yes, well, it's quite nice. I don't like short hair, you know.
No. Oh, no. No, it wouldn't have been short. I just thought I'd get it tidied up before Christmas.
Well, you can wash it and comb it, can't you?
Well, I've done that as recently as 3 days ago.
Mm.
It's no problem. I shall probably do it again, well, I don't know, in perhaps in a week's time.
Yes.
Something like that.
Yes. And I've got your lovely jacket here, you can wear that.
Yes, which one is that?
That we bought when we went to Liechtenstein, you remember?
Now, I do know what I've forgotten what it is. Would you remind me?
Yes, I bought you a jacket for £45.
Yes.
That lovely tweed jacket.
Little Jack Horner. Little Jack Horner. Little Jackie Horner sat in a corner, eating his Christmas pie, eating his Christmas pie. Little Jack Horner sat in a corner, eating his Christmas pie. His Christmas pie. He put in his thumb, he put in his thumb, and pulled out a plum, and pulled out a plum, and pulled out a plum, and said, and said, and said, and said, and said, what a good boy am I, what a good, good boy am I. He put in his thumb and pulled out a plum, he put in his thumb and pulled out a plum, and said, what a boy, and said, what a boy, what a good, good boy am I. Little Jack Horner, little Jackie Horner sat in the corner, eating his Christmas pie, eating his Christmas pie. He put in his thumb and pulled out a plum and said, what a good, good boy am I, what a good, good boy am I.
Oh yes, that beautiful thing. I'd completely forgotten about it. So you did?
Yes, it's hanging in my cupboard.
Now wait a minute, where did that come from, the Liechtenstein sale?
No, his wife had a shop there.
Right. There's a sort of charity thing.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, yes, I'd completely forgotten about that. Yes, that'll look very nice.
Yes.
That's right. That's a good idea. Quite elegant.
Yes.
Editha began sneezing, so I reminded her about Echinacea, and she said, ich habe eine Enkelin, no, nicht eine Enkelin, eine, what is she, a cousin or something, die Apothekerin ist.
Yeah.
Und als sie erwähnte meine Empfehlung von Echinacea, dieser Verwandte sagte, oh ja, die Echinacea, das kenne ich sehr gut, das ist ganz ausgezeichnet. Worauf die Editha das vergessen hat und hat es nicht gekauft.
Wow.
What can you do?
Yes.
So I thought I would bring her some.
Yes.
I must remember to buy some at your local chemist on Monday. And then I can give it to Editha when we see her.
Yes, it would be very... It's a Christmas present.
I think so. Yes. Yes. And that way she can't say she hasn't got it. And if she doesn't use it for her health and protection, she's the more fool than I... What would you like? You must tell me. What would you like?
I'd like a new eye.
Oh, darling, I wish I could do it. I dearly, dearly wish I could do it. All I can do is to keep my eye open and my ears open for all technical developments that come along and inform you in detail of what there is. We do know of this one thing that is available in America now. But so far, I think they've only, I'm not sure how far they've got, I think they've done it on one woman and various dogs and other animals. But it's not yet in general availability for human use.
But dogs? The dogs couldn't tell you if they see better or not?
Well, I don't know how they find out, but apparently that is what they do. They do it on animals first and then on humans.
Why, Nikita, but they are not blind, are they?
Oh yes, dogs get blind just as any other animal. I've often seen blind dogs, have you not?
No.
Oh yes. Particularly in one eye, something hits them, a stone or something like that, or they have a fight and they lose the sight in an eye.
Yeah.
Quite usual.
Mm.
And quite frequently the case.
Your voice sounds very nice tonight, Liebchen. Very seductive.
Oh, I say, does it?
Yes.
Now, that's very interesting. Well, I'll tell you what I did for my voice. I thought it was getting a bit hoarse. And about an hour and a half ago, I took one of my herbal liquids with a lot of honey in it.
Yeah.
For the voice and the throat. But I should have done it again after I talked to Editha and before I rang you. But I didn't want to keep you up late, so I rang you straight away instead of going to take my honeyed herbal liquid.
And I had a very suffering evening. My sink was bunged up. The water wouldn't run away. So I got some Mr. Muscle stuff, which is for sinks, £2.95. I think it's sugar soap or what is it called, that stuff?
Yes. It's a very expensive way of buying caustic soda, I should think.
Caustic soda, very expensive. I'll never do that again.
Please don't say no, say maybe. Or say come back in the spring, say anything, but don't say no. It's making my heart overflow. Be sweet and kind and keep the thought in mind while you think it over. Great love from little friendships grows. Oh, please don't say no. Say baby. And though I wish you'd confess, right now I'd settle for less. Because in time, baby, you wind up saying yes.
Please don't say no, say right now it's time to confess.
Bottle down, and I left it in half an hour, and then I tried to rinse it, and it wouldn't go, and wouldn't go, and I plunged it and plunged it. So then I put in the rest of the bottle in it, the whole lot in it, £2.95 first.
God.
And waited another half an hour, and it's only now after 10 that I finished with the thing.
And it now does work?
Now it runs away. But what a job that was. My arms ache with the plunging and plunging and plunging.
Oh dear, how dreadful. How awful. Poor darling. Now, where did you get the Mr. Muscle?
Oh dear. In a shop.
Yes. But the only bottle that I knew of that you had was given to the basement the other day.
Yes, but I had to buy another one.
Oh, for them or for you?
For me, I just told you my sink was plunked up.
Of course, yes, yes. But I just wondered which shop sells it, because that one had to come, I seem to remember, from some distant shop at Notting Hill Gate.
Yes, yes.
Did the second one also come from Notting Hill Gate?
No, John Palmer got it for me when I had lunch with him today. I said, do you know that there is a shop nearby your house which I can buy Mr. Muscle? And then we passed one, and we passed that wonderful butcher, and I got six cutlets, my dear.
Yes.
And in the next shop I got Mr. Muscle.
Wait a minute, which butcher was that?
In Baron's Court.
Oh, yes, yes.
And then when he took me home, I said, please, Tom Palmer, take me to West Pond Grove. I must get some bread. So I went there and got another round bread with apricot and nuts in it.
Good.
And do you know what they charged me for that loaf?
No.
Well, they have a guess.
£2?
£2.45.
Was it as expensive as that?
I think it's disgusting.
Well, I mean, it is an absolutely first-class bread.
But it shouldn't be DuPont 45. The ingredients are not even ATP.
No, but I mean, that is the way money today is devalued. It's like a froth on the wind.
It's terrible.
You see, I mean, the other one, Christian, charges something like £1.85 for a rye bread.
Yeah.
And this other thing has got more than rye in it. It's got about four different kinds of cider and nuts and God knows what sort of them. Apricots and so
on. Let us have faith. Let us have faith. Let us have faith.
No microphone problems in Jesus' name.
Let us have faith that right faith makes right might.
Not might, so might.
Let us have faith that right faith makes might right.
Well nigh perfect, but a little firmer in this faith you're expressing, maybe, please.
Let us have right faith that makes faith right might. Right might makes faith might.
Shall we try once more?
Right.
Four.
Let us have faith that faith makes might right.
I like that practically it, with one last thought. There was a note of pleading in that last, seemingly.
Right.
And make it more a positive statement of your belief.
Take five.
Let us have faith that makes might right might.
Up a little more, just a little more firmness.
Let us have faith that right faith makes might mighty right.
And just a little quieter expression of your faith, not fight, you don't need to project it.
Let us have right faith that makes us have right might that makes might right.
That was very good. I don't mean to wear you out. I'd like to take one more go around.
Let us have faith that faith might make might, that might make might right.
Once more, please, with the thought that you're completely confident of your trust in divine providence and you're very firm in your faith at the end. Shall we try once more?
Right. Let us have faith that makes faith mighty. Right faith that makes us have right might that makes faith. Right faith. Right to the end.
Just the last faith, it broke apart a little.
That's right.
A little more flow right there.
Right. Let us have faith that right faith makes might mighty mighty right. Faith makes us right. And in that might, in that right, have faith. Let us have.
One last time, the whole section five, so you'll get a momentum up.
Right.
And give me a finale that is a little more conscious of being a finale. In other words, not projected, but a little firmer in this faith you're expressing. Maybe try it one last time.
So anything. Let us have faith. That mighty faith makes us mighty right. And in that right faith, let us have mighty might. That faith makes mighty right might.
But what about a brain attack?
Might makes right. Might makes right.
Absolutely delicious bread, is it not?
Yes, but it's a lot of money.
Well, I agree with you. But if you want a Rolls-Royce bread, you have to pay a Rolls-Royce price.
Yes.
And it really is. It's probably the best bread in London.
Yes.
Bar none. And then down
second comes the rye bread. Oh, there are many more shops with lovely breads.
Oh, but not with anything as good as that. That is something very special. Anyway, I'm very glad you've got it, and you've got Mr. Muscle. But I think in future we must order a quantity. I think your house seems to be very unfurnished for these problems. Shall I order from a wholesale chemist perhaps 10 kilograms of sodium hydroxide, caustic soda?
No, I only want 1 kilo.
1 kilo. Well, the point is 1 kilo will probably go in one session or two sessions.
No.
And then the basement has constant problems there, so they've got
what
to have it.
What are you saying, constant problems, Morris?
Darling, they've had it three times in 2 months. That is constant in my language.
That's only because of the flood. Hey, so okay, so there's nothing to do with
just how holy is the Holy Land? Just how holy is the Holy Land?
Well, I was trained to use a belt bomb.
Just how holy is the Holy Land?
Well, I was trained to use a belt bomb.
God is perfect.
Which is basically God a belt with explosives. Perfect. They used a connecting button that they put on my right hip for me to push. I was to do this only when I could see a lot of people gathered together in a crowd and I had managed to get into it.
They're told in religious language, you know, and enter with peace and tranquility because you're one step away from going to paradise, that you're about to carry out God's mission. And so there are reports of suicide bombers observed just before they hit the switch with a big smile on their face. I don't know if that's true, but I've heard reports of that sort. And one can imagine that if you really, really submit to the ideology, that you may well convince yourself that you're about to take the trip of your life.
It was only then I was to push the button and explode myself. To be a martyr, all you need is strength of will and character, and to have strong faith. When I made the decision to take this belt and use it and explode myself, I was already prepared. I had to know where the target was, and I needed someone to take me to the target because I'm a girl. I decided to target a pizza restaurant, but I can't remember the name of the place. I decided to go and blow myself up in the evening hours, when people are going back home from work, and there would be a big crowd of people around the target area.
Women and children, especially at that time of the day.
I don't target women and children in particular. I don't target any particular group or person. I just do what is needed. About killing our women and children.
Other women your age are raising children today.
Raising children and having a family is a kind of jihad, because this strengthens society, and raising children in a good way is an important thing.
If you could today, would you go into that crowd and blow yourself up.
The way I see it is that the Jews weren't merciful with my nation. I don't have anything against Israeli children, but I know there is a possibility that an Israeli child could grow up and one day come to kill my son or my neighbor's son. Therefore, I feel he should be dead now. I feel he should be dead now.
That's because
they believe that they're not going to die. Anybody who really believed that they were going to die, I don't think would do that. I think you have to have a strong belief in these phantasmagorias called afterlives, whether it's you're going to be surrounded by 70 virgins, or whether you're going to go to Valhalla or the Happy Hunting Ground, or Avalon or Purgatory or Hades or any of the land of the dead, any of these extraordinary myths that have arisen in every single culture in the world to try to ameliorate the terrifying terror of death.
Just how holy is the Holy Land?
Sister?
We'll have a reunion.
Let us have faith.
Our loved ones and friends will be gathered around.
Let us have faith.
Your mom?
Some faces are missed.
Dad?
They've gone on to hell.
Let us have faith.
A good friend?
They will be there with Jesus till the trumpet shall sound.
Let us have faith.
Your child? Now think of their terrible fate if they die without Christ.
So the suicide bomber can look forward to this luxurious, wonderful life of sexual ecstasy, surrounded by brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and cousins and nephews, all of which he knows that because of his actions, they're guaranteed to make it to paradise. So you have a replication, if you will, of the Arab family, the extended family in paradise. And then when you hear them describe the kind of world that
the road. You see, nobody ever told us what it was due to. We don't actually know. You may be right, or it may have just been a blockage with hairs and grease and things like that.
Not for what they came for. The one in the shower bath, yes. But it wasn't a shower bath, it was.
When those men came, they had to deal with two separate items. On the one occasion when they came, when I ordered them, I was told this on the telephone the other day, they did one indoor one and one outdoor one. And when they came the second time, called by that girl, whatever her name is, again they had to do one indoor and one outdoor. So that is four blockages. And now recently another blockage that they have, that is five blockages, and your kitchen blockage, that is six blockages in 2 months.
Just think, how can in 2 months the drain be blocked up again, Miss Hansing? It's not possible. That is a year's business.
I don't know. I can only tell you it has happened.
It can't be blocked up because the drain couldn't take any more water. Had nothing to do with air and whatever, though. The drains were all full of water and it wouldn't run away properly.
I don't know. But it seems to me, Vorsicht ist besser als Nachsicht. Am besten kauft man dieses Zeug en gros und dann hat man es da.
Because otherwise, you stand behind a dummer oxer when the thing is blocked and you have nothing to clear it with.
Well, anyway, last year when we hit those flats and the men came and did the sewer, he gave us a big bottle full of disinfectant stuff.
Ah, but I think you'll find that was only disinfectant.
Yes, but it's it. I'm just telling you, he's disappeared.
Oh, my God. That's a great big, what was it, a canister or something, wasn't it? A large supply.
Yes,
I think it was something like a gallon can or 5 liters.
Come down to the manger.
Oh, my God, where's that gone to?
See the little stranger. Wrapped in swaddling, Lord, the Prince of Peace.
Now, where has that gone? Could it be in the middle?
We'll start turning.
I don't know.
Torches start burning.
Not in the
bathroom. And behold, wise men journeyed from the east.
I think it was.
Our little baby boy, bring the people so much joy. Son of a carpenter, Mary carried the light. This must be Christmas, must be tonight. A shepherd on the hillside, with over my flock I abide. On a cold winter night, a band of angels sing. In a dream I heard a voice say, "Fear not, come rejoice. It's the end of the beginning. Praise the newborn King." I'm a little baby boy, bring the people so much joy. Son of a carpenter, Mary carried the light. This must be Christmas, must be tonight. Saw it with my own eyes, written up in the sky. By a simple bird's nest such as I. And then it came to pass, he was born at last. Right below the star that shines on high. How a little baby boy, bring the people so much joy. Son of a carpenter, Mary carried the light. This must be Christmas, must be tonight. Son of a carpenter, Mary carried the light.
Mangiata l'ora 10:04. quattro minuti fino a adesso il telefono di Anastas è staccato, cioè che dà il segnale occupato. Ma ho provato con il centralino e loro hanno provato nella linea e hanno verificato che non si parla nessuno, non c'è una voce. Allora significa she's left the receiver off. Come si dice questo in italiano?
Lasciate il telefono staccato.
Ah sì, pensate.
Il ricevitore fuori posto.
Allora avevo ragione con queste due espressioni, ma non sono stato sicuro. Potrebbe avere la gentilezza di chiedere se tutto va bene lì o se c'è qualche cosa che non va.
Certo, certo, vado subito.
Cosa importante è che il telefono deve essere rimesso a posto.
Ok.
E allora io posso chiamare.
Va bene.
Mille grazie.
Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, I'm leaving tomorrow.
Well, have a very lovely Christmas in Rome. Your mother's going with you?
No, she left already.
She's left?
Yes, she's left a couple of days ago.
Oh, I see, yes. Well, I hope you have a safe journey and a buon Natale.
Thank you, bye.
Now, if I should try, I did tell her that a rather bogus sort of Vichy water is available in Italy. It's probably good water.
You told her that she was going to look for it.
Now, if I should find, I somewhere have a label of that, which I have carefully kept, which gives the exact Italian name of that water, which I don't remember. But if I should find it before you go, I'll ring you and let you know exactly what is on the label.
Okay, thank you very much.
And if you would go to Anna now, could you?
Yes, I will right away.
Very, very kind.
Bye, Maurice.
Forgive my bothering. Bye-bye. Can't press down on the switch.
Yes, I only just found out.
That's the main thing is you found out. Have you slept well?
Yes, yes. Hang on a minute, wait a minute.
It's Clara who's come to see you to get the receiver put on again.